I'll expect you back in 2 hours. Don't be late, or I'll get the cane.
His father suddenly scowled.
If you see your feckless brother, tell him I'm waiting, and there'll be hell to pay. He's on the cutters today.
Even though Jess and Brendan had been born as identical twins, they couldn't have been more different inside. Jess was bold, Brendan tended to be shy. Jess was self-contained. Brendan was prone to explosions of violence. Jess was a runner. Brendan was a schemer. Jess knew exactly where Brendan was. He could see him, hiding up on the thin second-floor catwalk, clinging to an old ladder that ran towards the roof. Brendan had been watching, as was his habit. He liked to be up high, away from where Dar could lay hands on him, and he liked to avoid risking his hide as a runner when he could.
"If I see him, I'll tell him," he said, and stared hard right at his brother.
"Get down here, you little shite."
Brendan responded by silently swarming up the ladder into darkness. He'd already worked out that Jess was the one running the prize today. Knowing Brendan, he decided that his skin was worth more than just acting as his brother's decoy.
"Well," his father said sharply, "what are you waiting for? A kiss from your mam? Get on with ya."
He pushed Jess towards the massive reinforced door of the warehouse, which was opened by three silent men. Jess didn't know them, tried not to learn their names because they died quick in that line of work. He paused and took deep, quick breaths, getting ready. He spotted the mob of cutters ranged about in the alley and on the street beyond. Kids, his age or younger, all ready to run their routes. They were waiting only for him. He let out a wild war cry and set off at a sprint. The other cutters took it up as a cheer, thin arms and legs pumping, darting between the startled pedestrians in their workaday clothes. Several lunged out into the street, which was a hazardous adventure. They darted between steam carriages and ignored the angry shouts of the drivers. The cutters reformed into a mob of 12 or so kids at the next corner, and Jess stuck with them for the first part of the route. It was safer in numbers, as the streets got cleaner and the passers-by better dressed. 4 long blocks of homes and businesses, then a right turn at a tavern already doing good business even so early in the morning. Smooth running until a hard-looking man darted out from a greengrocer and yanked a girl out of his crew by her long hair. She'd made herself too easy to grab. Most of the girls knotted up their hair on top of their heads or shaved it short. Jess had to fight his urge to slow down and help her. The girl screamed and fought, but the big man wrestled her to the curb and backhanded her into a heap.
"Damn cutters!"
he yelled.
"Garda! Garda! Runners on the loose!"
That tore it. Always some busybody do-gooder trying to save the day, was what Jess's father always said. That's why he sent the cutters in packs, most with worthless decoy rubbish in their harnesses. The Garda rarely scored, but when they did, they paid any informants off richly who put them on the trail of the smugglers. Citizens turned, eyes avid with the idea of free cash, and Jess tucked his chin down and ran. The cutters wheeled and broke up and reformed like a flock of birds. Some carried knives and used them when grabbed. It was chancy to do that, very chancy, because if a kid was caught with a bloody knife, it'd be the rope for sure, whether it was a flesh wound on the man he'd cut or a mortal blow. The boy to Jess's left, too big to be running, though he was probably younger than Jess's age, veered straight into a wall of oncoming drunks. He had a knife and slashed with it. Jess saw a bright ribbon of blood arcing in the air and then didn't look back. He couldn't. He had to concentrate on escape. His route split at the next corner. They'd all break up now, running separately to draw the Garda's numbers thin. Or at least that was the plan.